presentation is loading. Let me say thank you to Laura for a really nice introduction. As she mentioned, I work with the Maternal Health Task Force, which is at the Harvard School of Public Health. We sit in the Department of Global Health and Population, and we were really excited to be asked to be here today, in part because this gave us an excuse to become better informed about UN processes. As an organization that exists outside of the official UN agencies, but one that collaborates with them a lot, it was a great opportunity. Oh, these are my presenter disclosures. I have nothing to say except a big thank you to Jess Christian, who's a project assistant on our team who wrote my introduction. Rama Lakshmanarayanan, who helped a lot as I was trying to understand more about what was going on with sexual and reproductive health specifically. And Jewel Gaussman, a doctoral student in our department who is wonderful. So today, briefly, I'm going to try to cover a lot of ground. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Millennium Development Goals, what we know is going pretty well and what we know is not. Where we are on this road to sustainable development through the lens of maternal, newborn, child health, and a little tiny bit on sexual and reproductive health. I'll talk about the sustainable development goals, proposals and processes, what I understand about sort of the state of the art, what's working and, frankly, what's not. So let's start with the relatively good news. As we think about where we are as a globe, as a world today, and we consider what the MDGs have done for us, let's look at some, I don't think we can call this causality, maybe at best we can call it correlation. This is kind of EPI 101. But in 1990, we had 543,000 maternal deaths. That's a huge number. That's an outrageous number. By 2011, that number had been cut to 273,500. So that's somewhere between a 45% and a 50% decrease. And that's been really exciting for people working in the field of maternal health, I think, and development as well. There are also 17,000 fewer children who die each day now than did in 1990, but still 6 million die each year before their fifth birthday. So while I think these global figures are really important, I think it's also really important to note they mask enormous disparities within and between countries, and we need to keep that in mind. As we look at what's happened, as Laura mentioned, on this road from the Millennium Development Goals and when they were proposed, and now as we ready for the post-2015 development agenda, I think it's been interesting to learn about how they have begun to be organized. There are these three pillars, social, economic, and environmental. And health, interestingly enough, fits squarely into the social in the way this outline is constructed in the successor framework. But it's also supported by the other two pillars, by the economic and environmental ones. And I think importantly, there's also a focus on gender equity, poverty alleviation, and social justice as we go out and look at the broader rings that are social determinants of health. I'm going to talk a little bit more in a minute about this open working group, but in general, there is a body called the Open Working Group at WHO that is comprised of 30 member states and is chaired by Kenya and Hungary. And off the bat, I have to say, and I'll come back to this point, that I think our biggest challenge as a community is to make sure that reproductive, I want to say sexual and reproductive, maternal, neonatal, and child health don't fall off that agenda. So let's take a quick look at maternal health. This is the area that I feel, frankly, most comfortable talking about because we've been really involved in this process. It's a conversation that was started by colleagues at WHO. Now, it actually predates August 2013, probably in January of 2012. And they brought together some great demographers to help those of us who don't understand mathematical modeling very well to understand what were realistic and aspirational goals for maternal mortality. Some members of that group then published a paper in The Lancet that outlined that more specifically, and we as a group of stakeholders held a variety of conferences, webinars, did a variety of methods of outreach to try to gather feedback on these targets and to see what people felt about them who were in other parts of the world. In Bangkok in April when a consensus statement was drafted by the countries represented there, and there were many. I want to say 70 off the top of my head. I'm not sure I'm right about that, but somewhere around 70. And the draft consensus statement that was written there was then shared more broadly, and we received an overwhelming number of comments from the public. I love how the UN talks about the public. That's me. I had comments, and 43 or 44 member states. And so I have a colleague now named Rima Jolove, whom some of you may know, who is sifting through all of that and trying to figure out where we go next in order to respond to some important concerns that were raised. But at the heart of all of this is a goal of a maternal mortality ratio of fewer than 70 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births by the year 2030. That is what we are considering an aspirational global average that we're striving for. Obviously, for some countries, it's an enormous reach to get down to 70. For others, especially for countries in Latin America, there are some that are very low. Latin America and Europe, there are some that are very, very small. So it's important to remember this is an average number that we're striving for. No one country is being held responsible for having 70, but we're all trying to get a global aggregate that's down to 70 or less than 70. And that for the highest burden countries, that no country has more than twice that number, or 140 maternal deaths by, or MMR, I should say, to be more accurate, of 140 by 2030. The newborn community has gone through a similar process. I know less about it, but from afar they look extremely well organized to me, and I admire their communications. They've done a phenomenal job of doing in-country consultations, making draft documents, making those documents then readily available to the external world, and getting comments incorporated in a very transparent review process. They also received an enormous number of feedback comments when they posted their draft statement online, and the resolution was actually passed at the 67th World Health Assembly. So that's really exciting news. Their goals are also quite specific, that all countries reach 10 or fewer newborn deaths per 1,000 births, and all countries will reach a target of 10 or fewer stillbirths per 1,000 total births. So given that the day before, was World Prematurity Day, I think that's really important to note. In terms of child health, I'll turn to my child health colleagues in the audience later to answer any real questions, because I can't answer anything about it. But one of the strategic issues that I thought was interesting is that the child health community has taken a different approach. They've done a very good job of looking across platforms and across themes to try to get child health incorporated in as much language as possible in the draft successor framework. They've specifically focused on malnutrition, child marriage, trafficking, violence, and education, as well as the obvious focus on child survival and ending preventable disease. They do not have a numerical target, though. When you look at the sexual and reproductive health priorities, it's interesting because they're also integrated across platforms. There's a real focus on universal health coverage. UHC, I think, will continue to be a topic of much discussion. There's a lot on family planning, information and education, reproductive health, and an emphasis on women's empowerment and gender equity. So, where are we now? Well, this current proposal or successor framework was submitted on July 19th. It includes 17 goals overall with 169 targets. But a whole bunch of those, the vast majority of those, have nothing to do with health. So I think that's important to remember. The range of issues includes ending poverty and hunger, improving health and education, making cities more sustainable, combating climate change, and protecting oceans and forests. If you look more closely at the document, health falls under Goal 3. And I won't go through all of these, but it's nice to see that the maternal mortality target has been incorporated in the current draft. There's strong language about deaths of newborns and under five children, but others can talk about how they feel that does or doesn't address the issues on the table. There's, as I mentioned before, a fair amount on sexual and reproductive health, and I think, as some of us were talking about a minute ago, a recognition that it's important not to lose ground on some of the key language around sexual and reproductive health that we gained at ICPD and in Beijing. Those gender equity goals are, which is my third bullet point here, those gender equity goals are really important ones. There's a lot on violence against women, trafficking, harmful practices, issues I'm guessing that in this room we would all consider key. So this is considered an open process, but how do we engage? That's been fascinating to try and figure out. And for anyone who was at the General Assembly, it was interesting that there were some nonprofit organizations and some NGOs who really put pressure on the heads of UN agencies to step aside and provide a space for civil society groups to speak. An organization called Change that does great things, I think, organized that. And I think to some extent it really worked. There are thematic working groups that are organized around interest areas. And in these thematic groups, there are clusters that are coordinated by steering committees. And the steering committees are responsible for writing position papers. And my understanding is that those steering committees are also open to receiving information from any of us. So for anyone who has strong ideas, it's not too late to share them. In November, about 10 days ago, in fact, November 6th and 7th, there was an IERG meeting in Geneva, another independent expert review group, and they had apparently a very good discussion about where maternal child health goals fall in all of this. So I think there is still very much a process underway. It's unclear quite where it's going. It's unclear to me, I should say, quite where it's going. There are advocacy groups still forming, and it's a fairly ad hoc process. So what seems to be working? I would say right off the bat, for organizations advocating on specific issues, they have presented a really unified voice, and that's been enormously helpful. The fact that the UN itself is emphasizing an open process is also terrific, because they don't always hang their hat on transparency. The fact of setting numerical targets or defined goals has, I think, led to a lot of open discussion about what those goals should be, and that's been an important conversation, especially with country-level leaders who are trying to figure out what their ministers of finance will agree to, and if a minister of health has a goal, he or she can say, this is the amount of money I need allocated to achieve this, and I think that's helpful. And then, as I mentioned before, just a focus on not losing ground from where we got in the early 90s. So where do we need to go? I would say that while there's a lot that is working, it's also going to be really important to maintain a focus on sexual and reproductive health and maternal newborn child health moving forward. It's important to understand the context of universal health coverage and who can afford what, as we think about national stakeholders. And that some critical issues and groups, particularly vulnerable populations, don't get lost in the mix. We need to think about where we're going on all these issues and take a step back to decide how to get there. And I would argue it's not too late. Thank you.